I want to say welcome to each of you that are here, if you're joining us online. And I just want to say that it's my privilege, it's my honor to be back with you. This is a home away from home for me, and it is something that, especially when you're about to find out that I lost my home, that it takes on a different meaning to be here. And so I am really looking forward to spending time with you. And to begin this, I need to go back 2.5 years to share with you in a very unusual moment, an encounter that I had with a dear friend of mine. She is a woman of deep faith, and she has at times come to me and said, the Lord has given me a word for you. The Lord has given me a vision or a dream for you. And on this one particular day, she came to me and said, Scott, the Lord has given a word to me for you. And I just want you to pause and think about the realities of that moment. If I said, hey, the Lord has given me something to tell you, you're like, I can't wait to hear it, or you're completely freaked out. It's one or the other. And sometimes it's based on what that message is. But I remember this individual came to me and said something very powerful and very pointed and very vulnerable to me that I want to share with you and bring you into a very vulnerable place into my life. And this individual said, Scott, you have been living for years. You've been living your life according to the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs are a book of wisdom and of if this, that, this, that, and all of these are articulate ways in which you can live. But the Lord spoke in a dream last night to me very vividly and said to tell you, you need to begin to prepare your life to live in the psalm. Now, I didn't know what that exactly meant. I knew that the psalms had everything to do with giving praise, but also giving deep lament. And so I began to wonder what that would look like and what that would mean, and it wasn't until January of this year that I began to fully grasp and understand what that dream over my life would mean. As I found myself in the epicenter, my family was actually in the epicenter of the Eaton Fire this January. This weekend, I have flown over 1,200 miles just to share this story. More importantly to share than sharing this story is to share the psalm. The psalm that because my life is actually not the same as it was 6 months ago, and it will never be the same, but to share more importantly the psalm that actually carried me through, because I believe in this room every one of us is going through something, or you will go through something, or you've been through something that you're trying to process. And this psalm, and the reason that I flew here, was to share with you the principles that I'm learning, not that I have mastered. To invite you into not just my story, but your story and your friends' stories and this church's story. And so this psalm has a very profound meaning to me. Last week, I was watching online and I saw Claire come up here. And many of you know Claire, and she was talking about her honeymoon. She was talking about students going to Forest Home Camp. And she was sharing all these amazing, wonderful things. And I was like, oh man, my message is so dramatic. It's so like the opposite. Come on, I wish I had Psalm 23. Why Psalm 1? Why? And I thought, what a privilege and what a joy and what an honor it is to share with each of you, whether you're here or you're online, the scriptures. And so what I'd like to do is, as we begin, I want to share with you a piece of my story. It's not to compare to your story. You're living your story. This is the story that we live. It's not to judge or base off of what you're going through and, oh, is this one better or worse? Or it's nothing like that. I stand before you. I pray humbly that you wouldn't even see me, rather that you would hear the scriptures, you would hear the truth, and that we would give him all the glory for everything that's about to become a part. So what I want to do is I want to share with you a few pictures just to get this going. I call this picture First Sighting. That evening in January, living in Altadena, we had no power, which was compounded by the fact that the average wind was going 60 miles an hour, and there was gusts they set up in the 80s and all of these things. So you had no power, and you couldn't hear anything. And if you were outside, there were things flying around or breaking and falling. Including it was trash day. I remember it vividly. Put the trash cans in front of the house, and our trash cans were over the top of the house, and they were in their backyard. to the fact that there was trees that were falling down and branches that were snapping. It was a bad storm. But then my sons, and I have two sons, by the way, my sons looked out the back window and said, "Dad, what's that?" And as I looked at that, I was able to quickly deduce, you may not realize that where my IQ levels are, but I was able to quickly deduce, that's a fire. That's bad. Really, really bad. So what I didn't know at the time, because we didn't know about this fire because the emergency evac system was not working in our area, so there was no warning. What I quickly would recognize and realize is, as you'll see in the next picture, just watch the progression. Within minutes, this wall of fire was moving, and it was moving rapidly. What we would later find out is that these flames were 40 feet tall, which is taller than the inside of this building. That's a wall of flames. And it was moving at the pace of 6 football fields per minute. Now, I know some people in this room are going to tell me, I'm really fast, or I used to be really fast. Let me tell you something. You're not 6 football fields a minute fast. I immediately ran out the door, and as I told my family, grab what we need, get to the car. And I ran to my neighbor, Jack, open up. And he's not opening the door because he can't even hear me knocking on the door. I'm ringing the doorbell, I'm pounding the windows. Jack's my 90-year-old neighbor whose wife died earlier in the year. I'm running to the other side of my house, knocking on the door. Heather. Heather's in her 40s. She lost her spouse less than a year ago to cancer. She's raising her kids alone. Heather! I'm trying to call my friend Ryan and Hannah, who live across the street. They're coming over in our backyard, and this is what they see. No warning. The next picture represents the road that we then took. This is a road we drove on every day. This fire, it was picking up embers and throwing them 3 miles, starting fires all over the place. My family had gathered in those moments our prescriptions, our pets, and just got in the car. We had 2 cars. My wife got in the car with one of my sons and some pets, and I got in the car with my other son, who's autistic, who's very confused, who can't usually sleep a night unless he sleeps in his bed with his blanket. And I'm saying, get in the car, and I'm telling my wife, Lisa, get to the Rose Bowl, and I will find you there. You just have to get there. Telephone poles coming down, no traffic lights working. People are getting in fender benders because they're scared. People are running across the streets in the dark. And I just said, just get there. I'll find you. As my son is just crying, saying, but I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Are we going to be okay? Are we coming right back? Not knowing what would take place. I would then learn, and as you'll see in the next picture, that the whole city was on fire. Every one of these dots is a home at that moment that was on fire. Over 9,000 homes, and I represent just one of 9,000. There's over 143 businesses taken, including our post office, churches, pet stores, grocery stores, gas stations exploding. All of these things are going on real time, and I don't know what to do. I have no clue what to do. It's not like I can run down to the neighbors because something's going wrong at my house because their house is on fire as well. It's not like we can all just gather at the end of the street and wonder what's taking place because of the fire engine. There are no fire engines. We didn't know what to do. Ultimately, that night, Nearly 30 people were killed within 3 miles of my home. A family that a father in a wheelchair was going back into his home to get his son that lives with cerebral palsy. He couldn't lift him. They didn't make it. And I could tell you story after story about that. I'm not trying to be the downer here. I'm trying to set a mood to show you what Scripture can do, to show you what the Spirit of God can do. Even in the midst of this, what can God do? 80,000 people would be ultimately displaced from this fire, and it would become the most expensive national disaster in American history. And yet churches like yours stand. As Greg shared about earlier, you don't just give to purpose, you give through purpose. And so one of the reasons that I flew here, it was supposed to take 5 hours, and it took 11. Just a little bit of weather issues going on through Denver, and I'll explain that in just a moment. I needed to come here to say thank you. Your church has helped us. When this happened, I didn't know what to do. And some of the people in this church called, and I came over and prayed with a group of individuals and just sat on the floor and wept. And your church gave us water. Blessed are those that will serve a cup of water to the least of these. You did that for me. Thank you. You've done that for countless other people. Thank you. This church is making a difference. And it made a difference in my life, and I just needed to come and say thank you. But I also was asked to come and to speak about Scripture. So what I want to do is I want to turn to a psalm, and actually it's the very first psalm. I know that Claire jumped ahead and she grabbed the favorite psalm, so I was like, okay, that one's out. What am I going to do? The 23rd psalm's out. What am I going to do? And I've actually had two psalms that have made it, helped me through this season. Today, I get to share one of them. If you ever have a guest speaker go down, I've got another message ready, just so you know, okay? That's all set, ready to go. I also want to share with you that this is brought to you by this Bible. If you recognize this Bible, this is a Bible that is given away for free here at this church. If you don't have a Bible, I'm encouraging you to go get it, especially if you like the message today. If you don't like the message, you should still get one anyways, because maybe you'll come up with one better. But this book right here made a difference in my life because I didn't have a Bible afterwards. Again, I didn't have a change of clothes afterwards. For 2 months, I lived out of a backpack in 8 different hotels. This is Scripture. This is the power of what we can do. So let's go together to Psalm chapter 1, and I'd like to read that. So please note the following, because this is actually the very voice of God. This is the very word of the Lord. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's pray together as we dive in. Lord, I pray that as we've come and that as we've gathered here, we want to ensure that you have been invited into the very hearts of each individual, including my own. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my life and my voice, may they be pleasing in your sight. May you take the collective glory that's going to be given in this room and give you praise for who you are, for what you can do, for being that way maker. I pray, God, that you would meet each individual exactly where they are and that you would show them where you would desire for them to go. Use this psalm, use this story for your glory, and only yours. Amen. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to give you some principles and some thoughts that I believe will encourage and challenge each one of us. And what I want to do is first start off with the very first thought here is this: whose words are going to shape you? Whose words are going to shape you? In the first two verses, there is a stark contrast. And then there will turn into some imagery that'll point to lessons that relate specifically to your life, to you personally. And the thought here is, whose words are going to shape you? And it talks about that there are, look at that progression. There are ways of the world, and there are words of God. So there's words of the world, and there's words of God. And the choice is for us to discern, who are we going to trust and follow? And before we do that, I want to jump right to the first word, and I want to break some myths, because they don't work in real life. They are very watered-down church thought concepts when we talk about what does the word blessed even mean? Because it says blessed is the person who does this and doesn't do that. What does it mean to be blessed? I want you to, in this service particularly, grab your phone, take a picture. It is worth that. If you don't do that, I might come get you, just because, again, I came 1,200 miles and I'm leaving in a little bit, so I have no repercussions going on between us and our relationship. What I'm trying to say is this: this is a biblical definition of what it actually means to be blessed. A blessing is a God-given state in which your soul is what? Fully satisfied, regardless of what? Your circumstances. What? Because I gotta tell you, after I experienced what we just experienced in my life, I thought it looked like the chaff of this story. I didn't think it looked like a tree, because our tree burned down. Everything I owned was gone. Every possession that we had, gone. So I felt like the chaff. And this is saying that you can be blessed with a God-given state that you are fully satisfied, regardless of where you're at in life at this moment. So I want to ask you, what circumstance are you facing today? And do you want to know that's the key to biblically being blessed in it? That you can stand regardless. Because, see, the world is going to say, you're blessed if you follow my gram and do this, and you have this meal, and you have this bling, and, oh, you got that promotion, and you're wearing these type of clothes, and, oh, you're being successful, and, oh, you got A's in school. Oh, girl, you're blessed. And then we get to the church and you ask somebody, how's your day going? And the church saints come up to you and they say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I'm like, what? My house burned down and my life sucks. Well, I must not be blessed. And I got to tell you, we need to be really careful as followers of Jesus and apprentices of the master of defining this for what it really is. This is a state in which, regardless of my circumstance, I am fully what? And that is why we're here talking today. The first thing I want to show you, we're going to exegetically work through these verses, whether you're here or whether you're online. We're going to look at verse 1. And in verse 1, you're going to see a progression of what it looks like to listen to the world. It actually says it will change how you think. What? It will then change how you behave. Huh? And then it will cause other people in life to go, to whom do you even belong? Now watch the progression. The first is you're walking in step. Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, I know. Oh, I can't believe that happened at work. Oh, my boss is such a jerk. Oh, did you hear about Pastor Eric? I know. I wonder why Sarah's here alone today. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Sarah's just like, oh no. But eventually you start talking like that, you actually start having some real strange thoughts, don't you? You start to think different. And then ultimately, so as you're walking, all of a sudden, now you're standing around, and you're a part of it. But then our flesh gets so comfortable We have a seat right there. And then you know what happens when I'm sitting right here? I look around based on the circumstances that I see, and I begin to have thoughts about other people. I begin to have thoughts about myself, and I begin to question God because I'm listening to what? The world. So we have to be mindful that circumstances, if life is currently feeling like my circumstances are dictating it, I want to just challenge you. Who are you listening to? Just ask, who are you currently listening to? Verse 2. Verse 2 is going to show us a different progression. It's going to be the progression when we listen to the words of God. And it says we will do two things. We will delight and we will meditate. To delight means to find beauty and value and meaning in something. I've been married nearly 30 years, and I will tell you one of my greatest delights is still having Lisa by my side, and there's no place I'd rather be than with my wife on a date. I love it. Oh, there we go. Some of you are like, well done, sir. Especially when you see a picture of her, you're gonna say, well done. Well done, sir. But what happens is after you delight in something, Claire brought this up last week about meditate. The scripture says that you begin to meditate on the word, and Claire brought up so beautifully last week. Meditation is not some Eastern form of emptying your mind. Rather, it's a form of filling your mind. And in this is the very first time meditate shows up in the verse in Psalm. And what it literally means is this, to chatter. I'm chattering all day. I'm chattering about something in my mind all day. So I'm going to ask a very pointed question, and please don't turn to your neighbor and tell them, because I want this to be a real vulnerable moment for your own heart. If we work this backwards, it says something about where I'm currently positioned. What are you thinking about all day? What obsession do you have all day that you chatter about? Now, when I was in junior high, what do you think I was thinking about all day? Somebody over here just yelled, girls. Hey, this isn't a confessional here. Like, this is just a, but girls, okay. But I once had a teacher that told me, hey, be careful what you think about all day because you will eventually become it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I am so gonna become a girl. Like, I am so gonna become a girl. But what you meditate all day actually points to what you're delighting in. And so again, may it be the thing of the scripture of the voice of the one true living God and not the things of this world. We're gonna now move and talk about this. The decision that you make between these two, it's gonna impact your whole life, everything. And your entire life, and Psalm is going to give you two images to observe from so that you could take these principles and go, oh, this is a stern example that I can put up against my life. And it talks about this or that, the tree or the chaff. You understand the chaff, that's what's on the outside of the weed, it just falls off, that thing, or the beautiful tree. And it says, based on who you're trusting in, who you're listening to, is going to be based on what examples or evidence your life produces, that of the chaff or that of the tree. And so let me give you three observations of each that just after pondering this, it just hit me. And this is how God is using this in my life. The first is this, the verse says that the tree was planted. And here's the thought. Armstrong's Nursery was a nursery that we used to love going to. And if you happen to own a local nursery, I'm sure it's fantastic. But I'm just using Armstrong's for the context of most people understand Armstrong's. It's as if I wanted to go buy a tree. And I went to the nursery and I personally selected this tree. And this fruit tree is the tree that I want. It could be citrus, avocado, whatever you'd like. And I am going to say, when I get home, this tree needs to be in the perfect place. So I plant the tree here. I don't plant the tree next to Gary Avenue or on the 210 or on the 10. I plant it where it belongs. And in the same way, my friends, for those of you who have trusted in Jesus, Jesus plucked you up and he planted you exactly where he wants you, in his Spirit. He is the source. And it says that you were planted by the waters. And the principle that I want to make sure that you get is this, and it builds on each other. When I trust that I've been planted, I don't have to doubt where I've been placed. How many times in life do I question, why do I have to be here, God? Why now? Why like this? Well, because the master gardener knew to take you from here and to put you here. And when I begin to trust in that, I don't have to doubt the process. There's a parallel verse and a passage in Jeremiah that actually says again in that you were planted, you were chosen, you were selected, you are in the right place because you've been planted. Now, in my story, I may have had a few times where I didn't feel like I was in the right place. But again, if I am thinking spiritually, meditating on the Word and in the Lord, what I'm realizing is, God, I'm going to be okay because you've seen this ahead of time. You knew that this was going to happen. You didn't desire it for it to happen. But even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, as you heard last week, I will not fear. And shadows aren't always real, friends. And shadows are next to what's real. It's often not the thing. It's the thing next to the thing. That's what a shadow is. And so you walk through the shadows, but you've been planted by the stream. The next observation that I want to call out quickly is this. The tree in this passage is in a process. It's in a process because it talks about storms and droughts and things are going to happen. But when I trust his placement, I don't have to doubt the process. I will trust the process. Now, I declare that as if it's easy to do, but let me tell you, when this next picture shows up in your life, for you, this is not easy. This is what pain looks like. My two sons didn't smile for months. We didn't laugh for months. I wore that same shirt for months. We didn't have anything going for months. The front wall was still standing, but it soon would fall over. We are still not 100% of where we were before. This next photo shows the dreaded photo that no homeowner wanted in January. This was the dreaded red tag. And they put this up in front of your home when they said, this is no longer safe to occupy. It has been completely destroyed and damaged. And when I'm at this stage of life, I'm not in my 20s anymore, by the way. I'm not in my 30s anymore. I'm not even in my 40s anymore. This is not what I expected. This is not what I was working towards, was that. The next photo here will show you looking into our house. Every earthly possession we have is here. It's completely ash. For 8 weeks, we would just travel, we would move, we would go. And people would say, hey, Scott, at least it's just stuff. In my head, what I was thinking was, do I swing with my left or my right? With Jesus, I said, nah, kick him in the throat. with Jesus, I said, it may just be stuff, but it was our stuff. It was my wife's wedding dress. It was her mom's Bible that she wrote notes in while she was dying of brain cancer to her daughter. It was her great-grandmother's handwritten recipes. It was my dad's jacket that I gave him when he turned 50. Even though he's a San Francisco Giant fan, I gave it to him and he wore it with great pride because of Willie Mays. And that was in my closet because he had passed away 2 years ago. It was my great-grandfather's flag who served in France during the World War and his flag that I lost. It was all the memories. It was all the joys. It was having Eric in my home. It was having Greg in my home. It was having all these different people in my home. It was all gone. The next verse says in Jeremiah that even when the storms come, I don't need to fear or I don't need to be anxious. And I got to tell you, there was a moment about 5 years ago on Netflix, a show came out called Minimalist. I watched this show and I was like, whoa, that'd be cool to be a minimalist. Whoa, just to have just what you need, not have all the other stuff. But then it happened to me and I'm just here to tell you, it ain't that cool. Like, it really ain't that cool. Like, you think it's going to be cool to have two shirts until you only have two shirts. That's it. My wife, 2 months after this, came to me and said, is it time, do you think I can start to buy makeup? And I was like, oh my gosh, that didn't even cross my mind. I was like, should we get the kids toothbrushes? That's where I'm at, right? But we learned about this verse. Every single day, people would give to a GoFundMe page or to a Venmo page. Your church gave us a month of rent, just to be really transparent and clear. I thank you. We wouldn't have had a roof over our heads for a month if it wasn't for each of you. That's a big statement when you got a family of four with special needs to go, what am I supposed to do? And the truth is I was helpless. I couldn't do it. I could trust and I could rely. This following, then the final image is this of the tree. The tree's prospering. This tree, as you look into this passage, is prospering. But I want to make sure that we're defining what it means to prosper appropriately, because the process that I have learned, it is the only way forward for my life in order to receive a blessing and to give a blessing. Let me say that again. It is the only way forward for me to receive a blessing and to give a blessing. It's not that I was blessed by this event. It's that I could have a blessing. And let me share with you what happened in the next verse, or in the next picture of Lisa and I. We were in a small group for over a decade with a couple, and this couple called us, and they said, hey, we're so sorry for your loss. I got to tell you something. We have a home, a second home that we were trying to sell, and we just pulled it off the market. We're supposed to give you the keys. And we couldn't find a place to stay. And we were just like, huh? You said what? And we just need you to come in to heal. And it was a place that we would go vacation, so it wasn't a place around here. And so this is a picture of Lisa and myself. Somebody donated that jacket to her from this area. We grabbed some beanie caps and we went to Montana, where we're currently residing. And we're in a farmhouse in the middle of a big open space of land. In this farmhouse, there's a lot of trees, and I was just able to give my sons axes. They're old enough. This isn't a parental like guidance tip, and I don't need any feedback. I was just like, why don't you just go cut that tree down? And this isn't the type of tree that you just go, no, this is like a timber type of thing. We're 12 trees in and still doing therapy. We're still going. The next picture, so this became a blessing to us. The next picture, this is my autistic son, Ryan. The regional center here in the local community actually called us one day and said, hey, we're trying to feature a story with KTLA around a young adult who has special needs and how they were impacted by the fire. Could Ryan become the feature story for that, to be the voice of people with special needs that have been impacted by the LA fires? This is Ryan. He became a blessing to others because he was able to declare, even in all of his ways, that the Lord is still good to me and I still trust the Lord. He actually said that, and I still trust the Lord and in the ways that he could. We got to keep moving based on the sake of time, and what I want to do is I want to now show you this. In the next verse, we're going to talk about how the contrast of these three has to do with the chaff. The chaff is, again, do I want to be that tree regardless of circumstance? Or do I want to be like the chaff? And the chaff, there's three simple observations I want to show you. And these observations just dawned on me as I've been processing and journaling. There's three things. First, the chaff is opposite in nature to the tree. It is opposite in value to the tree. And it is opposite in destiny to the tree. The tree is opposite in nature in that the tree has life, but the chaff is actually dead. It exists, but there's no life. So watering chaff is useless. Let me apply. Take a moment. What I'm trying to say is that if we choose to live our lives listening to the world and depending on the ways of the world on, oh, what does it look like to be blessed? Even if you sprinkle a little Sunday service on your life, it's still not going to produce anything. Because deep in your heart, you're not rooting yourself in what it truly means to trust. The second observation is its opposite in value. The tree has great value. We've got beautiful trees in Montana, by the way, like amazing. And I never lived in Montana. I'm from urban context. Like, this is a whole new experience for me, okay? I'm like, what is that? And they're like, that's a bear. I'm like, oh, we're going that way then. What is that? That's a buffalo. Well, stay in the car, please. Like, we're 10 minutes from our house. It's a whole world out there. The chaff is worthless. Even the world throws the chaff away. Application. When the world is done with you, what are they gonna do? Throw it away. How many of us could give a testimony that we used to run with the wrong crowd, we used to walk, sit, or stand with the wrong crowd, and when they were done with us, what'd they do? Discard. It's not worth it. The final thing is the tree is rooted and remains, but the chaff is forgotten. It blows away. And so the contrast is there, and then the final thought I have here comes down to the following passage, which is verses 4 and 5, that says, not only will your decision on who you will trust, who you will listen to, not only will it impact your entire life, it's going to impact your destiny. What we do here does ripple throughout eternity. The challenge for us today is, regardless of whether things are going well or we're in a storm, is who will we delight in? What will we delight in? What will we meditate upon? What will that look like if we were to step back out of our own lives and just take a moment, glance, to say, what is the evidence of my life? Is it this or is it that? I know that this church has a similar core belief that I do, that life is short, but eternity is long. We have to choose wisely who we will listen to. So as I stand here today, I just want to go back to the beginning of what it means to be blessed. I haven't fully grasped this all myself, but I'm learning. I'm learning that whether the Lord gives or if he takes away, that I can bless his name. I'm learning that I can be blessed because it's not about my circumstances. It's about me trusting him to be that tree so that through this painful process that I can still bear fruit that would last. Now in the passage, there's a final thought. It says, the tree has leaves that give shade and fruit. Pause. Think about it. Why does a tree or a life give shade and have fruit? It's not for the tree itself. That's the world's definition of prosper. Look at what I have. Look what I can do. But there's no tree that turns around and eats its apple or eats its avocado, and you're mocking me. You're like, look at the idiot on stage even doing that motion. And yet that's how we often live. We think this is for me. No, during the storms, especially when your whole city's on fire, if you choose to trust in God, you can be a tree in the midst of chaos. And leaves provide shelter. So when it's hot out and there's nothing, nowhere to get protection, where do you go and hide? Under a tree that has shade. This passage is saying you can be that tree. And when somebody else is out there and hungry and in need and needs something desperately just to make ends meet, you have fruit that you can give. Even when you're going through it, you still have something to give. So I pray that as we're here today, that you'll take my story, but more importantly, you'll take this psalm and you'll apply it to your own life and into your community and into your work and into your family and into your individual life, and that you can find with me on this journey what it means to truly be blessed by God. Let's pray. God, as we ponder the things of Psalm chapter 1, I pray that you would do your work. We invited you in this place to do your work. And maybe it was actually that you invited us into this space so that you could use these words, these meditations, to draw us closer to you onto the things that truly matter. So I pray a prayer of blessing over every family, over every individual. May we leave here a changed people, determined to follow the progression of the words of the very true living God, the very voice of God that's found in Psalm chapter 1. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.